In Jesus' name. You can yell, hey! Yeah. Amen. All right, open your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 13. It's a Thanksgiving message that I wanted to give today just to share with you. Because we are in the Thanksgiving season. It starts now, I guess. And this Thursday is Thanksgiving, the time that we give thanks. And I just wanted to really talk about that this morning. So Exodus chapter 13, if you're there, verse 3. Do you remember? The title is Do You Remember? And Natalie did an amazing job putting this graphic together. Thank you, Natalie. You know, she sent me a bunch of versions. I don't like it. And then she goes, how's this one? He said, oh, that was perfect. So thank you, Natalie, for putting up with me. But do you remember is the title of the sermon. Do you remember? By the way, nice to see Sister and Brother Tubi today. Thank you. Good to see you. I know they've been battling with some things, but they're good to go. Amen. All right, Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. It says, and Moses said to the people, remember, this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place, and no leavened bread shall be eaten. I want you to notice what he said. He said, remember what God did for you on this day, and don't you ever forget. One of the greatest gifts that we have is our memory. God has given us this capacity to remember things. You know, we remember events. We remember places we've been. We remember dates, right? We remember times, fun times, bad times, and we remember people. And it's a gift from God to remember these things. You know, I can go back. I think my memory can go back till maybe I was 2 years old when I remember things. But throughout those years, I remember people in my life, things that were done for me, people that did wonderful things for me. I remember bad things, and I still have those today. Now, I know there's a disease out there that causes people to lose their memory, like dementia, Alzheimer's. And if you think about it, here's a person who's probably you slept with for 60 years, you know, a husband or a wife or a grandparent for 60-plus years. You've lived with them, breathed with them, slept with them, raised kids with them, and one day they wake up and don't even know you. And it's all because of a memory. Our memory is a gift from God, and we need to cherish our memory. But one of the things that Moses says very clearly here is there's one thing you better remember is what God has done for you. Don't ever forget what God did for you. No matter what's gone on in your life, no matter how bad things get, no matter who ruins your day, don't ever forget who God is. In Deuteronomy, it says, remember the Lord your God. In Deuteronomy, 15 times, Moses says, remember God. Remember God. Don't forget God. Don't forget who is with you in the bad times and the good times. Don't ever forget who did wonderful things for you. I remember Donna. I can go back probably 25 years when we first met Donna and the times we had together. You know, things through her life, right? Those are things we cherish. We won't forget. I remember when I had an accident when I was 21 years old and I had no car. I smashed my Trans Am. I had a blue Trans Am, smashed it in the guardrail, ruined it on a Bronx Parkway. And I remember that my uncle gave me his car for 2 months. That was almost 40 years ago. Today he has dementia and doesn't remember me sometimes. But when I see him, I remember what he did for me. But that memory causes me to give thanks. I thank God for my uncle. I thank God, even though he may not remember, I'm thankful for what he did for me because he helped me through a time when I had nothing. And a lot of times we forget people who've done things for us. A lot of times we forget what God did for us. A lot of times people have backstabbed Janice and I. just because of something that was made up. But they forget when we were there for them in their worst times, in their worst of their worst, when we were there. I remember getting a call from somebody in this church, they're not here right now, but almost probably 25 years ago, they were drunk at 2:30 in the morning. And they, guess who they called? Me. And I remember going and getting them, picking them up, puking while I'm putting them in my car. Now, I'm not saying remember that it's a bad thing, but I remember those little things because they're precious to me. It's what a pastor does. But I remember what God did for me. And here Moses says, and throughout the Bible, we are told very clearly, remember the people in your life, but don't ever forget God in your life. Because he does stuff for you that nobody can. Amen. Exodus chapter 20. Look at this. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 8, when he gives the Ten Commandments, what does he say? He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Isn't it interesting? From the very beginning, he says, remember, remember, remember. The Sabbath day, and I know we're going to argue about this, right? So the Seventh-day Adventists say that church should be on a Saturday, right? Everybody know that? The Sabbath day is a Saturday, correct?
Yes.
The Sabbath is Saturday. So why in the world do we have church on a Sunday? Why is it around the whole world, the whole Christian community has church on a Sunday? Well, it's simple. Ready? Because it has everything to do with your memory. John, the Revelator, in the book of Revelation, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Lord's Day is Kyriaki, which is Sunday in Greek. He said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Sunday is the Lord's Day. On a Sunday 2,000 years ago, there was somebody in Jerusalem who burst open the grave after 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on a Sunday. So when we come together on a Sunday, we're actually remembering what he did for us. That he took our sins on the cross. He took our sicknesses and diseases. He took our pain and our peace upon him. He took all of the ailments of humanity, all the weaknesses, all the infirmities, and he buried them in the grave, and he rose again to new life on a Sunday. On Sunday morning. So why do we have church on Sunday? Listen, every single time you walk through these doors on a Sunday, we are remembering what he did 2,000 years ago. My salvation took place on a Sunday. My healing took place on a Sunday. My deliverance took place on a Sunday. My life changed on a Sunday. So why do we have church on Sunday? To remember. We don't come to church on a Sunday just to hear a sermon or just to sing a song or just to see one another. That's part of it, right? We're supposed to assemble together. But this morning, every Sunday morning, we declare Jesus rose from the dead. That's the purpose of church on a Sunday. Remember the Sunday and keep it holy. I'm not twisting scripture. You can stay home on a Sabbath. You on Saturday, you can sit there and make it holy. You can do whatever you want. But Jesus rose on a Sunday. Didn't he say before he died, he said, here's communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because he was about to die. He says, do this in remembrance of me. And Paul said, we do this to remember the Lord's death until he comes back. So Sunday morning, we just don't celebrate the resurrection, but we also celebrate what's coming. Jesus is coming. He's going to break open the sky. He's going to step down on solid ground, burst open every grave that you've ever seen. He's going to set the captives free forever, and he's coming back for every single one of us. Why do we do this on a Sunday? Well, Sunday we should celebrate the resurrection. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday to the Christian. And if a church uses Sunday for anything but Jesus Christ, shame on us. That's why whenever we do things, I'm like, do it quick, make it quick, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Because this is reserved to remember who did this. He is responsible for this day. April 26th, 1986, I walked into a church on a Sunday. And it was about 1 p.m. that I gave my life to Jesus. It was a Sunday. I remember. Amen. Sundays are special to me. Psalm 136. Psalm 136. I hope Sundays are special to you. I hope you're not sitting home on Sunday or thinking to sit home on Sundays. I know some people work, but you better not be sitting home, because you're sitting home, you're not here, you're not celebrating the Lord's resurrection. This is Celebration Sunday. If we don't have a mass, we don't have a Sunday morning mass. We have a Sunday morning celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every song that we sing magnifies what he did for us. He gave me a sound mind. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. Great is thy faithfulness. How great thou art. You're amazing. You're a miracle worker. You're a promise keeper. You are God Almighty. What are we doing? We're celebrating. We're remembering. Let me tell you this. I have a joke about that, but I won't say it. Let me tell you this. Did you notice God didn't say remember for his sake? He says remember for your sake. He remembers every... Boo! Hallelujah! Am I still on? Something popped in your area. I think I did something. The electricity is all around. Psalm 136. Psalm 136, verse 17. Check this out. Psalm 136, verse 23. Watch this. Watch this. It says, who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. Did you notice God has no problem with remembering us? It says he even remembered us when we're down low, when you're lowest of low, when you hit rock bottom. God says, I still remember you. You don't have to be way up here and be the best tither in the church and the biggest yeller and screamer in the church for God to remember you. He says, even when you hit rock bottom, God says, I remember you. My mercy endures forever. I'm there with you when you're sucking the carpet up, when you have nothing, you have no money, you have nobody behind you. He says, I still remember you. And so many of us think God forgets us when we hit rock bottom, that God only remembers us when we're singing or we're serving. No, God remembers us when we're hitting the lowest of the low. He says, in your lowly state, I remember, for my mercy endures forever. So I don't know what you're hitting, if you're hitting rock bottom today, or where you're going, or where you're at in your life. I just want you to know God has not forgotten you. He'll never forget you. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every breath you take. He knows every struggle you've made. He knows when you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning crying. And even though there's someone sleeping next to you, a husband or a wife, and you're feeling alone, God says, I know what you're feeling. I'm there. My mercy endures forever. In your lowly state, he remembers. Psalm 103. Oh, I'm sure you know this one. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, on all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He's talking about your memory. Don't forget it. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. Let's see how Jesus dealt with our memory. Mark chapter 6. Everybody good? Mark chapter 6, verse 30. We're going to talk about the loaves and the fishes for a little bit and see how Jesus dealt with our memory. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Everybody there? He says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves in a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves, but the multitude saw them departing. And many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. He knew their lowly state. So he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy this themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out that they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups of green grass. So they sat down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000. Verse 45, watch this. And immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. So notice, Jesus just does an amazing miracle, and we call it the loaves and the fishes, right? It's all about bread. Now, go over to verse 45. We did 45. Watch this. So now they're in a boat. He sticks them in a boat, and he says, and when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the 4th watch at night, he came to them walking on the sea, but he would pass by them. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. So let me just kind of summarize what just took place, right? They're at a place, there's no food, there's tons of people, there's thousands of people, and Jesus says, what do you have? They find 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus multiplies them, and then they take up 12 baskets of bread, fragments, one for each of them is left over. So the food is multiplied. Then what does Jesus say? Let's now go into the boat. Good? Everybody good? Okay. Notice there's a storm. It's windy. They're rowing hard, right? Verse 48. And Jesus now walks on the water, and he says to them, it's I. Verse 51, then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed themselves beyond measure and marveled. Watch this. A miracle just happened. For they had not understood the loaves because their heart was hardened. I want you to notice something. They did not understand what took place with the bread. And because they didn't remember the miracle of the bread, it hardened their hearts. When you forget what God did for you, you are in danger of a hardened heart. Your memory is directly related to your heart. Reminding yourself of what God did for you keeps your heart sensitive. Have you ever seen people who are mad at God? They forgot when they were in their lowest of low that God showed up in their lives. Have you ever met somebody who was mad at you because they forgot what you did for them when they were down and out? When they forget, their heart becomes hardened towards you. Let me tell you something. When somebody does something against me and really just jacks me up, I don't remember the bad things. I go back to the good things they did for me, and it keeps my heart sensitive towards them. It allows me to forgive them or overlook their episode of being angry. Because my memory keeps my heart soft. I remember when we had, Janice and I had nothing, zero, no money, absolutely nothing. I remember, I actually found my income tax for that year when I was at my mother's house cleaning. We made total income, real total income for the year was $3,000. And that's for a family of Janice and I and two boys. But I remember that I stood in faith, believing God, and he came through once. He came through twice. He came through again and again and again and again. When they said she had cancer, God came through. When they said even Christopher wasn't supposed to, there was something wrong with her, with Christopher, God came through and delivered a healthy boy. With Jamie, God came through and delivered a healthy boy. With Nicolette, who was supposed to be deformed, God came through and delivered a healthy girl. Those memories keep my heart softened toward God. When it doesn't go my way, when I pray and he doesn't answer the way I want, I don't get mad at God. I get soft at God. Says, God, you are still God Almighty. No matter what happens in my life, you took care of me before. You did it before. You'll do it again. I haven't forgotten, God, what you did for me when I was down low. I remember. So when people come to this church and they're down low, I don't look down upon them because I've been there. I know what it's like not to put food on my table. I know what it's like not to have health insurance. I know what it's like not to pay all your bills. I know what it's like to get a foreclosure notice on your house because I've been there. But a lot of times people judge you for where you're at, but don't realize what it took you to get where you're at. Don't look at my harvest if you haven't looked at my sowing. Don't look at where I'm at if you haven't been in my shoes for the last 30 years. I remember. Your problem is you forgot what God did for you. Look what Jesus does. Verse 52. They forgot about the loaves. Mark chapter 8, real quick. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Another miracle. Verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called the disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on their way. Some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? Notice his bread again. He asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven. He multiplied the loaves again. Verse 7. They also had a few small fish. Verse 8, they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover. Verse 9, now they had eaten, were about 4,000. He sent them away. Watch this, verse 10. Immediately they got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. Did you notice the last time there was a miracle with bread, God said, get in the boat. The second time there's a miracle with bread, God says, get in the boat. The first time, he says, you got in the boat, you got afraid because there was a wind, and you forgot about the bread. They missed it. Next time, watch this. Verse 11, then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking signs and testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and says, why does this generation seek a sign? Verse 13, then he left them and getting into the boat again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. That means their hearts were hardened. And they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the bread of the Pharisees. Verse 16, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread? Jesus, what's with you and bread? The last time we got in the boat, you yelled at us because we had no bread. We forgot our bread. And now we get in the boat again, and you're yelling at us because we forgot about the bread. What's up? Jesus, verse 17, he says, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? See, let me tell you something. In about 10 minutes, 11 minutes, we're going to, quote unquote, end church service. Well, Jesus said it right here. Church doesn't end at 11:30. You see, church didn't end when the miracle occurred. Jesus said, hey, let's continue church in the boat. And let's see how you handle it. How do you handle life? When the winds come, the storms come, he says, let me see how you handle life. And they freaked out at life. He says, you're freaking out because you forgot about the bread. He says, do you remember who I am? Do you remember me walking on the water? Do you remember how I multiplied the loaves and the fishes? Do you remember when I saved you out of Egypt? Do you remember when I split the Red Sea? Do you remember when I put manna all over the place, constant every day? Do you not remember? I told you over and over, remember the Lord thy God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You're going out those doors at 11:30, unless I keep you longer. And church continues. Because out there is where your heart will be tested. And when you get in your car and you drive by the gas station and you see the price going up, are you going to remember the Lord your God? When he provided when it was $2. He provided when it was $3. He provided when it hit $5. He provided when it went down a little bit. He provides no matter what. He is not bound to our economy. Because he gave us some bread called his word. I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to create wealth. He says, remember me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's bound by his word and not by this economy, not by this politics. He's bound by what he said, and we remember him. In the Bible, it talks about the will of God, ready, is for us to give thanks. That's the will of God for our lives. Why? Because I'm giving thanks to what he did. The more I remember what God did, the more thankful I am. That's why sometimes I wonder, we get here on a Sunday and we're singing, you know, you got nothing to be thankful for? I could sing for 5-6 hours of what God been thankful for. Recently, I told you, I never forget. I asked God, let me be there when my parents take their last breath. They were here when I breathe my first, I want to be there when they breathe their last. God, that would be the greatest gift that I could give them. They escorted me in this world. I want to escort them out. I want to be there when they step over into glory. I'll never forget that. Never. That's my bread. What's your bread? Please don't tell me you have none. Don't be like this. They have no bread. You better have some bread when you walk out of here in 7 minutes. Because life's coming. Storms are coming. Don't be like Bill and help me, Jesus. That's Bill's famous saying. Help me, Jesus. No, you don't have to say help me, Jesus, when there's traffic or you can't pay your bills. Lord, I thank you. I remember. Lord, I remember who you are. Lord, you've delivered 3 million people out of the bonds of Egypt. They were there for 400 years, and you supernaturally delivered them with silver and gold, and not one feeble among them. Their clothes never wore out, and even in their lowly state, you were true to your bread. I got bread. Do you have bread? Got bread? Let me finish this. 2 Peter. I got 6 more minutes. 2 Peter. I said 11:30. Church continues. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. See, 4 years ago, January 10th, I had my hip replaced 4 years ago. And guess what? I still remember every single person who walked through my doors and brought food for us. I still remember. I'm thankful for you. I still remember. Listen, you're probably saying, Pastor, you have a supernatural memory. No. When somebody does something for me, I make it a point to remember. Why? Because it's important to me. I value when you walk through those doors and drop your food off to me. I value that. People forget quickly. You know why? Because they don't value things. The Bible says if you're faithful in the little things, Second Peter 1. Let's finish this. 2 Peter 1, because I got 4 more minutes. 2 Peter 1, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yeah, you may know these things, but guess what? Peter said, I want to remind you. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Now, wives have a precious gift of memory. Right, JD? And on every morning, I get an email with a long list. Remember, this is what we need this week, today. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do. Huh? It's not every morning. No, it's not every morning. I'm talking about Brian, actually. Is he still putting his socks in the right way? Or he's folding them now. Oh, great. Now, you know, us Americans, we don't call it reminding. We call it nagging. No, anyway. But I remember. But Peter said, I want to stir up your memory. He says, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after I die. So 60 years, almost 60 years, I had my parents. But guess what? I remember the things they taught me over all those years. Now that they're gone, I can live those things. Because they're dead. They're gone. You know what I mean? I'm not being morbid. But apostles have come and gone. Men of God have come and gone over 2,000 years. And they've taught us the word. And now that they're gone, do we still remember? There's probably people in your life that have gone. Do you still remember? I'll say this, and I'll close with this. What's your bread? Do you have anything, any bread to eat when you walk out those doors? That bread will keep you alive. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just did, probably the 9th or 10th wedding I did this year. And one of the things I do is I spend time on the ring when we do a ring ceremony. And I tell everybody this. I said, this is special. I said, you know what? I said, after 5 years of marriage, I said, I look down on my left finger. And it reminds me of the promise I made to Janice on June 19th, 1988. I made her a promise. So when sweet, sexy Sally Susie walks by, guess what? This is a reminder of a promise. This is my bread. What's the matter? Sweet, sexy Sally Susie. I don't know. It's all S's. It just rhymes, I guess. I don't know. I know. There's like this. Well, there's. She's got two personalities. Sally Susie. And two names. I don't know. Do you remember? I don't know why you moved to South Carolina. You're not going to find a church like this. Do you remember? Stand to your feet, please. Stand up. The last Thursday of every November, this country put aside a day called Thanksgiving. And it's really to remember what God did for us. Amen. Make this Thanksgiving extra special. When you sit around the table and you're eating, take time to remember. Janice always does this Thanksgiving. What do you have to be thankful for? She goes around the table. What do you have to be thankful for? That's challenging your memory. Thank you, Lord. Don and Art, can you come up here? We want to pray for you before you leave.